Morning. Today's daf in Zvachim is Pei Vav. We are almost at the Mishnah on Pei Hamad base. We just have one little section to do from the previous sugya. So you take a look back at the Mishnah that we did. This Mishnah goes back, takes us back to Pei Dalam and Aleph. So the Mishnah, once again, just runs gives us a running list of psulim, of disqualifications that the Mizbeach can tolerate versus those that the Mizbeach cannot tolerate. So you'll recall back in the Mishnah, so Machlok Shin, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon has a slightly more expansive list of those things which the Mizbeach can tolerate than that of Rabbi Yehuda. And over the course of the last couple of days, we've been discussing this Mishnah. We are now up to the very final point. Rabbi Chanin has gone to Kohanim. I'm sorry, we did that already yesterday. We're moving on to the next two dots. My Kishem Shim Alam. So the Mishnah tells us that just like if it were to go up, so you don't bring it down again, for those that the Mizbeach can be collate, as the same thing would be true if those items come back down again. Once those items come back down again, they can't go up. So in other words, the Mizbeach affords a certain amount of protection and ownership of items on the top of it, but only when it's physically on the top of it. Once it comes off, so it no longer can be put back up again. That's what we learned back in the Mishnah, and the Gemara over here throws in a qualifier. Amar Ula. Pei Hei Amad Beis, right before the Mishnah. Amar Ula Lo Shenu Ala Shalo Mashal Ma'amor. This is only true that you don't put it back up again only if the fire didn't start consuming it. If I Mashal Ma'amor, but once the fire starts consuming it, Yalu, so then it goes back up again. What is the shear? How much exactly are we talking about? Rashi, just being a little bit more specific, Rashi says Kol Dehu. Any amount, meaning as long as it catches any kind of fire whatsoever, yalu, the nasulach mushleish, because at that point in time it becomes now property of the Mizbeach, and therefore to go up again. Rav Mari, what we just learned together, this qualification that if the fire starts consuming it, it goes back up again, so he learned it on the Reisha. Reisha meaning our Mishnah, meaning exactly what we just did. Rav Chanina Misura Masni HaSeifa. And Rav Chanina Misura learns it not on the Reisha, but rather on the Seifa. Seifa in this context means the next Mishnah, meaning the one we're going to be doing in just a short couple minutes from now. We get a preview to the upcoming Mishnah. So we're talking about bones and sinews, hooves, and horns and hoofs. So these are the parts of the animal that don't necessarily need to be burnt, but they're part of the animal. So bizman shemechubarim yalu. If they are connected to the meat, so then they're put up. So in other words, a leg of a carbon that is going up onto the Mizbeach. We're talking about a carbonola. So the leg of a Mizbeach that's going up, so considering the fact that the bones are connected to it, so the bones go up as well. However, pirshu, lo yalu. However, once there's separation between meat and bone, so the bone does not need to go up anymore. Amar ula, and on this, once again, we have this qualification of ula. Lo shana, lo shalom, mashlabahama, or ava mashlabahama, or yalu. That's only if the fire hasn't started consuming it. But once the fire starts consuming it, so then it remains up onto the Mizbeach, and if it comes down, you put it back up on the Mizbeach as well. So either this qualification of ula, that once it catches fire, so I put it back up again, either it's going on the previous Mishnah, which deals with carbonates that are disqualified, that made its way up there for whatever reason. So, and again, for those that the Mizbeach is collate, so catches fire, it stays there, even if it comes off, you put it back up again. Or you're learning ula's qualification on the upcoming Mishnah, which is not talking about disqualified carbon, it's just talking about parts of the carbon that don't necessarily need to go up unless they're connected. Once it's attached, they come back down again. For example, bone sinews, hooves and, bone sinews, horns, hooves. So so you're either learning ula on our Mishnah or on the upcoming Mishnah. Manda Masi Asif Kol Shekein Reisha. Now, if you're learning on the upcoming Mishnah, so for sure you'll apply to our Mishnah as well. And the reason why is as follows, says Rashi. Because in the upcoming Mishnah, we're talking about the parts of the animal that really have no business being up onto the Mizbeach other than the fact that they're just simply connected right now to the muscle. But in other words, but outside of that, they really don't belong in the Mizbeach. And yet, if it catches fire, it stays on the Mizbeach. In the previous Mishnah, we were talking about those things which fundamentally belong on the top of the Mizbeach, but have a disqualification, have a psul. So if you're learning it on the upcoming Mishnah, for sure you're learning it. If you're learning it on the parts that don't belong in the Mizbeach, for sure you're going to learn it on the parts that do belong in the Mizbeach. But the opposite, of course, is not true. But if you're learning it only on our Mishnah, meaning on those that are psul, so you're not going to necessarily learn on the upcoming Mishnah, as that Mishnah is now detailing things that don't fundamentally belong on the Mizbech.
What do we do with those things? Depending upon the Korban it is. If it's meant to be completely burnt and sold by the temple, if it's not meant to be completely burnt, can it be sold to bones from the history?
Bones, for example, of a carbonolo. So should... we'll talk about whether or not there's any requirement whatsoever to separate them from the meat. But in other words, the simple pshat, of course, is that you don't separate them from the meat. Meaning you simply cut the animal up, in other words, into whole pieces, and you put it up onto the mizbech with the bones. And then the assumption is that the heat on the mizbech, the fire on the mizbech, is going to burn through it all.
Okay. Oh, okay. We have bones in separate. Are they mila? If they're sold, or...
So... Okay, so right. In other words, right. But the simple pshat is that you don't separate them, and then you just simply put them up on the mizbech to be burnt. Okay, we start with the Mishnah where on Pei Hey Amud Beis Ve'elu Im Alu Yardu. Now these are the things that if they go up, so Yardu, you bring them back down again. So Basar Kadosh Kadashim, the meat of Kodesh Kadashim. When we say the meat of Kodesh Kadashim, we're talking about the meat that's consumed by the Kohanim. Meaning Kodesh Kadashim, of course, includes Ola, but it also includes Chatas and Hashem as well. So the meat of those karbanos which are consumed by the Kohanim, if they go up onto the Mizbech, they don't belong in the Mizbech. Therefore, you bring it down again. Vasa Kachim Kalim, the meat of Kachim Kalim, which again, same story, doesn't belong on the Mizbech because it's consumed. Parts of it are consumed by the Kohanim. A good part of it, most of it's consumed by the owner. You bring it down again. Mosar HaOmer, the leftover of the carbon Omer, right? On the second day of Pesach, on the 16th day of Nisan, the carbon omer is brought. It's a mincha barley offering. A kometz of it is burnt. A fistful of it is burnt on the top of the mizbech. The remainder of it is eaten by the kohanim. So, if the remainder, that's the mosar. If the remainder, for whatever reason, went up onto the mizbech, let's run up quickly, let's grab it, let's bring it back down again. It does not belong on the top of the mizbech. It needs to be consumed by kohanim. Shtei alechem. Same thing is true regarding the two loaves of bread on Shavuos. On Shavuos, there is a carbon of the shtei alechem, two loaves of bread. It's matir, that which permits to eat it, are the shnei kvasim, the two lambs that are brought on Shavuos. So once again, same story. The shtei lechem in its entirety are consumed by the Kohanim. So once again, if it goes on to the Mizbech, bring it back down again because it needs to be consumed by the Kohanim. Lechem apanim. Weekly, 12 loaves of bread are baked on Erev Shabbos, placed on the Shulchan on Shabbos, remains on the Shulchan for a full week. Next Shabbos removed so that it's replaced with the next set of 12 loaves of bread. So the lechem apanim are consumed by the kohanim in its entirety. The matir of the lechem apanim are 2 spoonfuls of lavona, frankincense, that are offered. Once they're offered, so then the lechem apanim is consumed by the kohanim. Once again, we're now describing a carbon that is eaten by the kohanim and thus, if it were to go on the mizbech, you just simply take it down again. Shayarei menachos, any leftover of the menachos, and kitaris, and also kitaris as well. Now, kitaris obviously is not consumed. It's incense. It's to be burnt. But the point is that it has no business being on the top of the outer mizbeach. Mm-hmm. It's burnt on the inner mizbeach as a result of that. So if it goes on the outer mizbeach, you simply take it back down again. Tosfos over here points out, the shayari minachos seems to have just covered everything previous. Meaning, we talked about the mosar omer shtei lechem lechem apanim, and then the Mishnah says shayari minachos. Right? Isn't Shayar Menachos a broad term that includes everything we just described? So if you take a look at Tosfos on over here, last Tosfos on the Samud, Eina Bechal Shayar Menachos Dechalaku. So Tosfos says, no, categorically, I wouldn't put this under Shayar Menachos. They are different. Why? Mehem Sheba Lahatir Menachadash Uminasa Orim. As far as the Omer and the Shtei Alechem, so those are viewed as a Karban Hamatir. They permit. Meaning we know that with the omer that's brought on the second day of Pesach, all grains now can be consumed. Meaning, all the grains that grew over the past year go from being chadash to being yashan. Shtei halechem also is a matir. In other words, allows for new grains to be brought as a mincha in the Beis HaMikdash. So they are considered carbon matir. So Tosfos says, so fundamentally they're different. And Tosfos goes on, what about the lechem apanim? Tosfos says, v'lechem apanim ein nektar behem, elo shnei bezich levono. Also, the lechem apanim is a little bit strange. It's a little bit unique in that none of it is offered, meaning there's no kometz from the lechem apanim. The matir, as I already pointed out, is the 2 spoonfuls of lavona. So being that they're slightly unusual than a regular, than standard carbon mincha, either because they themselves serve as a matir, or because they don't have a classic chometz presentation. So therefore, Tosha says that's why they don't just simply slide under the category of shayari hamincha. Continuing in the Mishnah. So the hair on the head of a sheep and the little billy goat, the little billy goat beard. So these are going to go on the top of the mizbeach. Now, let's just be clear about one point. We're talking about a carbon olah, obviously. So in other words, the head is being offered on the top of the mizbeach. And we also previously talked about a flaying of the animal. Carbon olah requires a hefshev v'nituach, flaying and cutting it into pieces. There is a part of the animal that does not get flayed, and you guessed it, that's the head. The head does not get flayed, so therefore on the head, so you're going to have the skin. You're going to have the hide on the head, and therefore you're going to have the hair. So the Mishnah says that regarding the hair on the head of these animals, and atzamos, and the bones, v'hagidim, gidim, I point this out a number of times. Gidim is a general term that describes any cords that run through the body. So in other words, it could describe tendons and sinews and blood vessels and thick blood vessels and nerves. So right, ligaments, nerves. So in other words, those are the gidim is a term that describes all those things. So gidim, karnayim, hooves. Karnayim are the horns. Talafim are hooves. Bizmashim mechubarim yalu. So here the mission tells us. Now we already heard this mission before, but we get to hear it again. So as long as they're connected to the buster of the animal, so then they're going to be offered shenemar v'iktir akohen as a kol. So the Torah says that you offer everything. Everything includes parts of the animal that are not buster, that are not meat. Pirshu. However, says the Mishnah, once they are separated, yo lo ya'alu. So then in of themselves, they don't go up onto the mizbeach. Shenemar v'asiso lo secha bas v'adam, because we have another pasuk. And the other pasuk seems to indicate that as far as what needs to be offered from a carbon olah, so bas v'adam, the blood and the meat. So it sounds like from that pasuk that the only requirement that needs to be offered is the actual meat. So we have basically a steer between two pasukim. One pasuk indicates that the entire animal is brought up. Another pasuk says only the blood and the meat. So basically what the Mishnah is doing is it's resolving the difference between the two pasukim. When connected, everything goes up. When disconnected, only the meat goes up. Gemara starts off Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in a braisa. Oh, okay. Excellent question. Sorry, repeat the question. I'm repeating the question. So, what should our first position be that we should separate them, or should our first position should we not separate them? So, I ask Gore just to wait a little bit. The Gemara is gonna touch on it. You'll see. The Gemara is a little bit choppy, but I'll explain why. Tanu Rabbanan. Yeah, I know. Right. No pun intended. But now that it came out, I'm happy. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in a brisa v'hiktira kohen is a kol mizbecha. So the brisa over here is going to repeat what we just learned together in the Mishnah. The pasuk says you're going to offer everything on the mizbech l'rabbos atzamos v'agidim v'akarnayim v'talafim. So which is an inclusive term that includes all non-muscle of the animal, bone, sinews, horns, and hooves. Yachlafi l'pirshu. Now, what if they separated from the meat? So tamalomer v'sisa l'secha basar v'adam. So again, so we have the other pasuk, which says only meat and blood. E basav adam yachol. If we just had the pasuk of basav adam, I might have thought yachlots gidim v'atzamos v'yala basal agabi mizbeach. I might have thought that now we are required. Look at the top Rashi on the Amud. Yachol yachlots chalitza over here, not like we normally understand the mitzvah of chalitza. Chalitza over here just simply means separation. So right, when we remove our tefillin, it's yachlots. So I might have thought there's a mitzvah, right, Rashi, mitzvah mutala salav. There's an actual mitzvah that because the Torah says ba'basav adam, that there's a mitzvah to take away the horns, hooves, sinews, and bones, and just be left with the basar. That's what I might have thought. That's a havamina. So yachol yachalot gidivat samas v'yala basar l'gabim mizbech tam alomar v'yiktira kohen es hakol. So the other pasuk now, we just simply pinball back to the other pasuk that says, no, that you have to offer everything. So ha-ketzat, so the Gemara says, so now where do I stand trying to navigate between these two pasukim? So mechubarim yalu pirshu afilo hein barosha mizbech yardu. So if they're connected, they go up onto the mizbech. But once they're separated, even while on the top of the mizbech, yardu, then they come down. And then, by the way, just remember the beginning of Shir today, right? Where the Gemara made a suggestion that Ula's comment is going on here, meaning if it's on the top of the Mizbech and it's separated, but it was the fire, it caught fire. So according to one version of Ula, you don't bring it down, but other than that, you do bring it down. Okay, so if I were now forced into a position to say, should I separate? So that the Brice entertained a Havamin that we should, but in other words, that's a Havamin, and the Maskan is that you shouldn't separate. Okay, so it sounds like there's some aspect to the carbon Ola where even though there's no requirement to separate, and really you shouldn't, but at the very same time, if there's separation, so then the horns and the hooves, the bones and the sinews can be removed even from the top of the Mizbech. Man, Tana Deshamas Lei, Damar Pirshu Yardim. Who's of this position? Meaning, who can we assign authorship of this position that, once separated, comes back down again? The Gemara says, Rebbe Hi. It belongs to Rebbe. The Italian, the Gemara here, treats us to another Raisa. So the Braisa opens up once again by pointing out that one pasuk says that you're offering all of it, meaning the entire animal, bones included. Afilu pirshu. And according to the Tanakam of this Braisa, obviously this is not reflective of the position we learned together in our Mishnah. Afilu pirshu, even if separated, they go onto the Mizbech. Now, within this opinion, what are you going to do with the other pasuk? If you have a carbon olam that has been literally digested, by digestion over here, we're talking about the burning of it. So in other words, if it's undergone a burning, so that you return to the Mizbech. But ikule gidim v'atzamos, but sinews and bones, that you do not return. Rebbe Omer. So that is the Tanakama of this Braisa. And then the Gemara goes to the opinion of Rebbe. Rebbe Omer Kasavechad Omer Victor Akonis Akolam is Becha. Reba. So one Pasuk is inclusive. Vikasavechad Omer Vasisola Sechabas Vadam Miat. Another Pasuk is restrictive. Only the bones and the meat. Sorry. Only the muscle and only the muscle and the blood. Ha Ketzad, Mechubar Mialu Pirshu, Afilo Hen Berosha Mizbech Yardu. So if they're Mechubar, if they're connected, so then they go up, but once separated, they come down, even if the separation occurs on the top of the Mizbech.
But the blood doesn't go in the fire. It's only like the blood that's contained, but the blood is the Zrika around, right?
Right, so Dam over here probably means Dam HaNefesh, and it probably means with the Zrika. All right, that's my best guess right now. But yeah, I agree with you. Pirshu lo yalum. If separated, so then now in our girsa of our Gemara, we have the words lo yalu. If you look at the side of the Gemara, he has another girsa, which is not the negative, but rather the positive. Pirshu yardu. Once separated, so then they come down again. Ama Rebbe Zera. So the Rebbe Zera is going to comment on this line of the Mishnah. At first, it's going to be hard to understand. Lo shanu lo shapirshu kape mata. That's only if it's separated going interior. I'll explain that better in just a moment. Avakapi mala, but if it's separated exterior, kruvehu de'ikruve le'ikol. So then it is closer to mi'ukal, closer to being consumed. And now, exactly what's meant by that line, so it's not perfectly clear. If you take a look at Rashi really struggles with, first of all, what is even the girsa of our Gemara? Va'afilu pirshu. Okay. Oh, first of all, I'm sorry. Let me just back up a couple of Rashi's. Kalpe mata, kalpe mala. We're talking clearly about a direction, interior versus exterior. So kalpe mata, Rashi says derech yirida umisrache min amaracha. So when we're talking about mata, I didn't do a good job translating. Mata over here means downward. Downward, says Rashi, means we're further away from the fire that exists on the top of the mizbech. Kalpe mala, upward, however, is ascension. It means closer to the fire. Litzara maracha. Einzu prishus ela kreva. Eitzo ha'ikol shel esh. Okay, fine. So in terms of just correct orientation, proper orientation, so going down means going further away from the fire. Going up means going closer to the fire. Now, v'afilu pirshu. So nira be'enai. So Rashi points out over here, shechasim in a girsa. That really, just reading the Gemara is going to be here a little bit of a struggle because we don't have a complete girsa. Ulemai degaris hachi perusha. Now, based on the whatever words we do have in our Gemara, so Rashi says this is, I think, how it should be read. Ve'afilu pirshu bitmia v'amuchubar mialuhu dekamar. So even if it's separated, in other words, if it's connected, yaluhu dekamar, so then it means to say that it should go up. Meaning that now let's go back to the Gemara. Let's try to read this back into the Gemara. So, Amar Abi Zera loshanu elosha pirshu kape mata. That's only if it goes in a downward, which now as we went through Rashi, we now know that means it went further away from the fire. Avakape mala, but if it's separated closer to the fire, kruvidu kravile equal, now it's closer to being consumed, meaning since separation occurred as it was going closer to the fire, and therefore what? And that's what the Gemara's next question is. I don't understand. Vafila pirshu? So what? It's closer to the fire. You mean to tell me that just because it's now a little bit closer to the fire, but if it's separated, we learn together that you remove it. We even learn together that even if it's on the top already, you bring it down. So what difference does it make whether it's closer to the fire, further away from the fire? The Gemara does not understand. Amar Rabba so hachi kamar. So the Gemara itself now is going to clarify what exactly was meant. Lo shana lo shapir shu la'achar zrika. Over here, before and after, does not mean actual location as it relates to the actual fire. Over here, before and after means before and after zrika. Zrika being a critical moment. So, lo shana lo shapir shu la'achar zrika. Ava pir shu kodem zrika. Asa zrika visharisinu afilo mave mineu kata de sakina. We are now describing whether or not the bone separated from the meat before or after zrika. If it's separated after zrika, so then that means that the zrika was going on the limb, bone and meat together, and as a result of that, it should go up, and even disconnected. So as if it's up, so and the fire caught it should remain there. Aval pirshu kodem zrika, but if bone and meat were separated before zrika, asay zrika. So what now happens? So the blood of this carbonola is now sprinkled. The blood of carbon sprinkled now is going to be a sign for what? Only for the meat. Meaning at that point in time, now the bone is already detached for whatever reason. So visharsina vilamave minayu kata de sakina. You could take that bone, really the kohanim, because in other words, it's property of the kohanim, but the kohanim could take that bone and use it for their personal usage. Even to make it as a handle for a knife, that would be fine. So the Gemara points out over here this idea of bones of a carbon ola, which can be used by the Kohanim, under what circumstances we learn together now, was separated before Zrikas Adam. So now the Kohanim, just like they're entitled to the hide of the animal, they also have an entitlement to the bones as well. And how do I know that? The Gemara learns it based on a Gzereshava. The Torah says, lo yeh be'ola, that he is going to have the ola, he meaning the Kohen. Lo yeh be'asham, he is going to have a carbon asham. Ma'asham atzamas mutarim, af ola atzamas mutarim. So just like by the carbon asham, the bones are mutar, so too by a carbon ola, the bones are going to be mutar as well. So the Gemara says, this gzereshava is a strong gzereshava. Now remember, we've done this many times in the past. How do you gauge a strong gzereshava? So mufna. So, in other words, the words that are used to describe the Gzeira Sheva, the connect the Gzeira Sheva, to create the hyperlink, are words that which are unnecessary, seemingly redundant. Mufni, de'ila mufni, and the Gemara points out because, had it not been a strong Gzeira Sheva, we can easily challenge the logic of the Gzeira Sheva. Ikal mefrech, malashim shekem besara mutter lo. So, I'm sorry, lo yiyeh yisera ksev. Because how can you compare an ola and an asham? Carbon asham, the meat is eaten by the Kohanim. So if the meat is eaten by the Kohanim, so they get down to the bone belongs to them as well. Carbon ola, they don't eat the meat of a carbon ola, the meat of the carbon ola is burnt on the Mizbeach. So had it not been a gzeresh of a mufne, you could easily challenge the logic of the gzeresh of a. And so, which the Gemara says, that's why it's mufna. The bones of a carbon before zrika, there is subject to meila. However, la'achar zrika in mo'alam behem. But after you do zrika sadam, there is no meila by the bones. Vishal ola mo'alam behem la'olam. But when it comes to carbon ola, the bones are subject to meila forever. Now, obviously, that's difficult. We just learned together that the, as far as the Kohanim are concerned, if separation of bone and meat occur before Zrikas Adam, so then the Kohanim could take the bones right away, use it as even a handle to their knives, meaning, obviously, it's not subject to Me'ilah. And meanwhile, this brisa that we just learned together says that the bones of a Karban Olah is always subject to Me'ilah, and the Isser Me'ilah will never leave. And when I say never leave, what do I mean never leave? Meaning, until it's burnt on the top of the Mizbeach. Once it's burnt on the top of the Mizbeach, na'aseh mitzvah so, the mitzvah has been performed, and you're going to hear this a lot when we get to Masechta Me'ilah. Once the mitzvah has been performed, then Me'ilah goes away, but then and only then does Me'ilah go away. Obviously, this brisa presents the problem to what we just learned together. Ema, the Gemara says, okay, we'll reinterpret the brisa. Vishal ola, pirsh lifnei zrika, ein molam behem, lachazrika molam behem la'olam. So the Gemara says that the karban ola, so it depends when the bones are separated from the meat. If the bones are separated from the meat before zrika, zrika is only going on the meat, not on the bones, and the Kohanim could take the bones home and make personal usage out of it. If, however, zrika sadam is done before separation, so that means the zrika is going both on the meat and on the bones, and that means that the two of them now must be burnt on the top of the mizbech. Okay, so all this now has just taught us together that when zrika sadam of a karban olah is occurring, so if bone and meat are together, so the zrika is going on both, they are both now earmarked to go on the top of the mizbech. If at zrika sadam, bone and meat, for whatever reason, now is separated, so then the zrika is only going on the meat and on the bone, Kohanim could take the bones home. This is one approach of the Gemara. We'll credit this to Rabbah. This is Rabbah's approach. Upligi de Rebbe Elazar. This is diametrically opposed to the opinion of Rebbe Elazar. I'm a Rebbe Elazar, Pirshul of Nezrika, Moalim Behem Lachazrika, Lo Nenev La Moalim. Rebbe Elazar goes in the exact opposite formula, where if Zrika, if the separation occurs before Zrika, so then there is no Me'ilah. Well, let me be clear about that, because what I said is not accurate. Let me go in the order that he goes. If they separate before Zrika, so then there is an Isser of Me'ilah on both meat and bones. However, if they separate after Zrika, so then min ha-Torah, there's no Me'ilah on the bones, but mid-Rabbanan, there is still going to be an Isser of Me'ilah on the bones. How do you understand this opinion, Rebbe Elazar? Meaning Rab is much easier to explain, because you know, the bones are not the... Right, as we learned over the course of a good part of this daf, the bones are not the part of the karban olah that really should go on the mizbech. It's just the meat. The bones are coming along simply because they're attached. If they're detached before zrikas adam, so the kohanim just simply take it. How do you explain Rebbe Elazar's position? Rashi writes pligi to Rebbe Elazar adarabba, meaning Rashi just simply points out that he's diametrically opposed, like we pointed out. Pirshu lifnei zrika molam behem la'olam. Rashi writes they came into pirshu inu lav bnei haktara ninu. So because they separated before Zrika Saddam, so that means that these bones are not to go on the Mizbech. And therefore, says Rashi, in explanation of Rabbi Elazar, lo ahani lu Zrika. So that means that Zrika can't do anything with the bones, and therefore, uvi isurayu kaime. Then they remain status quo. And status quo regarding the bones, meaning you are makdish the animal as a karban olah. That kedushas karban olah goes throughout the entire animal. And now because the bone separated from the meat before Zrika, so the Zrika is only going on the part that's going on the Mizbeach. It just simply can't affect whatsoever the bones, and the bones remain in the status quo position of being carbon and subject to Me'ilah. Masha Ein Kein, if the Zrika is done before separation, so that means the Zrika is going on both. Right, that's the next Rashi. Pir shulach zrika lo nene midrabanan v'lo malan k'Rabbi Yishmael. Degamer mi lo yashem v'ashem pir shulach zrika hu debahadei basar ishtari bezrika lo kohanim. Just like the asham after zrika sadam, so the meat and the bones are permitted to the kohanim. So too the ola, obviously not for the meat, but the ola for the bones, if zrika sadam is done on the bone, permitting it now for the kohanim, meaning he learns the gzeirah shavah like we said previously. Okay, so a zrikas adam on the karban olah certainly we know that it will make a difference whether zrikas adam is done before or after pirush, after the bone and the meat has been separated. How is it going to affect the two? So a machlokes between Rabbah and Rebbe Elazar, and the Rambam follows the viewpoint of Rabbah, like we said previously. Mishnah: V'kulin shepakum me'agabe mizbech lo yachzer. The Mishnah tells us that anything that was disqualified, that we learned now two Mishnahs ago, that we learned together, should not come down. Or whether we're talking about the bones, the sinews, the horns and the hoofs, if they fly off of the Mizbeach, so lo yachzir, so you don't return it, meaning, says Rashi, ein tzarech lahachzir. We don't have to return it. Meaning, if it caught fire already, we learned earlier that, yes, you can return it, but there is no requirement to return it. V'chein. Same thing is true with the coal. Meaning, you have a piece of wood. In other words, again, there's a lot of heat on the top of the Mizbeach, and that he is going to create, right, a force, and things are going to be flying off the Mizbeach. Even if a piece of wood falls off the Mizbeach, there's no requirement to put it back on again. Evam shepaka me'agabe ha-Mizbeach konim chatzos yachzir, u'mo'alim behem, la'achar chatzos lo yachzir ve'ein mo'alim behem. And then the Mishnah says, what about limbs? So again, we're talking about the limbs of a carbon olah, and the Mishnah says, if they fly off before chatzos, so then put it back up again. If they fly off after chatzos, then you don't have to put them back up again, and they're not subject to me'ila. And kishem shem mizbech mekadesh es arayelo, kacha kevesh mekadesh. We know that mizbech is mekadesh. The Mishnah tells us the same thing is true regarding the ramp as well. Kishem shem mizbech vakevesh mekadeshin es arayelahen, kol akelim mekadeshim. And then the Mishnah says the same thing is true regarding kelim as well. That anything that goes into a kli, the example which we've already covered a number of times is, let's say, the kmitza of a mincha. The kmitza of a mincha is taken off of a flower offering. And then how do you sanctify that komet? By putting it into a kli sharis. Okay. So once you put it into the kli sharis, it's mekadesh, it sanctifies. Now, hechidami. The Gemara says now, our Mishnah, our Mishnah makes midnight significant. Midnight, by the way, of course, we all know means halachic midnight, but in other words, it makes midnight significant. The Gemara says, I don't understand. Hechidami idis boom mamish afilacher chatzos nami. Why is midnight significant? Meaning, isn't what's critical whether or not there is unconsumed meat or there's no unconsumed meat? If there's unconsumed meat, you put it on top of the mizbech. It's an ola. It needs to be burnt on the top of the mizbech. And if it's not unconsumed meat, I just threw myself off with a double negative. If it's not unconsumed meat, meaning if the meat is totally burnt, so then you don't put it back up again, and even if it's before midnight, what is making midnight so significant? Gemara says, where's midnight fit into all this? The question should be really simple. We have a mitzvah to burn the limbs. If it's burnt, great. Then you don't have to put it back up again. If it's not burnt, put it back up again. So the Gemara says, lo tzricha bishirei. So the Gemara says, you're right. Meaning, as far as your standard procedure, it's gonna operate the way we just described. Most of it's burnt. Sorry, not most. If it's burnt, you don't need to put it back up again. If it's not burnt, so put it back up again. Our Mishnah is describing, I'm going to read the Rashi, in something called Shrirei. Shrirei Rashi writes, Kashin. Shin is Kashin Machmas Ha'esh. So it's dry, meaning it is not totally burnt, but it's dry as a result of the fire. Sheshalta Bekulam Nisrafu Elo Shalonase Pecham. So in other words, the meat now is... I'll use the word well done, but I don't even really mean that. Meaning it's really, really dry. It's dry. But it hasn't charcoaled yet. Nasu pecham elak eitzim yaveshim hay mitocham. It's kind of like dry wood. So a piece like that falls off. Now we are saying vis-a-vis this particular piece. Now it depends whether or not it's before or after midnight. And why is that significant? Minahanimile. Well, that's the next Gemara. Amar Rav, Kasav Echad Omer, Kol Alayla, Vihiktir, Kasav Echad Omer, Kol Alayla, Vehirim. We get an impression in the Pasuk that we're burning all night. We're getting an impression that we're doing Trumas Adeshin all night. Now, a word of introduction. Trumas Adeshin. In the morning, before the sun rises, there's one avoda which kind of like bridges yesterday's avoda to today's avoda, and that's the avoda of what's called Trumas Adeshin. Way in the early mornings of every morning of the Beis HaMikdash. We're going to see this described beautifully in Masechta Tamid. In the early, early hours of the morning, so you have a Kohen taking a silver shovel, going to the top of the Mizbeach, taking one shovelful of the ash, that's on the top of the Mizbeach, going back down from the ramp, going to the east side of the ramp, and depositing it on the east side of the ramp. And this is a mitzvah referred to as Trumas HaDeshen. If you think about it, the words, that's exactly what it means. Truma, to take a little piece of the Deshen, of the ashes. When is the mitzvah of Trumas HaDeshen apply? When does it start? Meaning it's bridging yesterday and today. So that's exactly what is confusing about the pasuk. The pasuk, one indication is called Alayla Vihiktir. And the other pasuk, it's not another pasuk, it's really the same pasuk, called Alayla Vehirim. Meaning within the same pasuk, we have two verbs, burn all night and do Trumas HaDeshen all night. Well, one or the other, which one is it? And to that, we're going to split the difference. The Braisa says, it's not a Braisa, it's Rav. Chalkeu, divided. Chesu la'aktar v'chesu la'harama. Half the night is going to be aktar and the other half of the night is going to be harama. Now, what does that mean vis-a-vis our discussion? So we have a piece of carbon right now that is burnt, but not burnt to a crisp, meaning not burnt to ashes, not been reduced to ashes. But in other words, it's hard. It's bone dry, right? Or to use Rashi's language that we went through, it's wood dry. Now what? So it's a really interesting Rashi. Rashi says, v'chetzio laharama. See the Rashi? I'm reading inside. Afilu kashen shebehem, ru'uyim laharama, v'kruyin deshen. So what you can do for your Trumas HaDeshen is you can go up onto the Mizbeach and you could take now this piece of bone dry meat. It hasn't been reduced to ash, but because now there's no moisture in it, it would work for Trumas HaDeshen. I have the picture in my head of Trumas HaDeshen where, in other words, you go to the ash pile and you take from the ash pile. But what we're learning together according to Rashi is it doesn't even have to be ash. As long as it's bone dry, so that's eligible for Trumas HaDeshen. And that's the difference between before and after midnight. Meaning, since we're now saying that the first half of the night is for burning, and the second half of the night is for Trumas HaDeshen, so once it crosses over, meaning, the hard piece, the piece that is not been reduced to ash, but all the moisture has been sucked out of it, been burnt out of it, so for that piece, before midnight, Haktara. After midnight, Trumas HaDeshen. That's the way the Gemara is presenting it.
You have this principle that if something has to have something done to it, it is as though it's been done. Like if you get it, like an etrog from an ear hanachat, it was supposed to be burned, right. So you cannot use it, even though it's an extent.
Right.
So I can apply that principle to the imurim that go on top and they're burnt. So you don't have to go through all this fine.
Well, there in that context, it was to have a shear. In other words, you need a minimum amount, a linear measurement. Over here, we're not talking about linear measurements. We're just talking about status of ashes versus non-ashes. So it's not exactly the same.
Can't you say what's
cold? Huh?
Can't you say what's cold?
It's right, but in other words, once the moisture has been removed, so now halach, again, this is the way Rashi is presenting it. It's now viewed as ash, and after midnight, now you could use Trumas HaDeshen. Mezer of Kahana, the Gemara asked the following question: B'chol yom tarim es mizbeach mikrus agever o samachlo milafanav o me'acharav. The Gemara here quotes the Mishnah in Yuma every day. So Trumas HaDeshen was done right at the crowing of the rooster, meaning early morning, pre dawn, and either a little bit before, a little bit after. B'Yom HaKippur bechatzos on Yom Kippur when Trumas HaDeshen is done is at midnight, and Beregalim Ashmaros HaRishona, and on Yontif even before midnight. Right, the night is divided into Ashmaros, into literally watchings. The Gemara in the beginning of Brachos talks about whether it's broken up into three watchings or four watchings. But point for us right now is that on a Yontif, on the night before the Yontif, Trumas HaDeshen was done. Sometime in the late evening, but in other words, well before midnight. Now, what did we just do? We made a drasha. And the drasha told us to divide it so that the first half of the night is eligible for haktara, second half of the night it's eligible for Trumas HaDeshen. Sounded like this is a din d'oraisa. And meanwhile, this Mishnah in Yuma is like talking about flexibility. Sometimes Trumas HaDeshen is done dawn, sometimes it's done midnight, sometimes it's done even before that. Where's the flexibility? So heichim makdiminan. So the Gemara asks the obvious question: how can you do it any earlier than midnight? I'm Rav Yochanan Mimashma Shenemar Kol Alayla in Yodia Shara Boker Matam Lomar Ara Boker Tain Boker LeBakro shel laila. So the by virtue of the fact that the Torah repeats and says morning, it means give another morning. Now in English, I know that doesn't translate well. Give another morning. Rashi over here writes tein boker lebakor shel laila. Rashi starts the bottom of the amud. He writes boker shel laila olasa shachar. So the boker of night, we'll call that dawn, says Rashi. And then boker acher teinlo, hainu hashkama. And then another boker means you can even add on another unit of measurement. Now, another unit of measurement, so what is that going to be? Rashi writes, v'kevan de'ein zman ledavar, meaning it's not clear in the Torah, so ela shel hashkama, it just simply means earlier, hakol lefi tzorach hashah. So then basically, as needed. Meaning what the Torah is allowing us to do is do Trumas Hadeshen, recommended time is dawn, but if necessary, you could do it even earlier. Yesh b'yadcha la'asos hilka chol yuma b'kros agever, osamach l'fanav ola achar av sagi. So that means to say that generally speaking, dawn, but on days where it's necessary to back it up even earlier, so we have the right to back it up even earlier. The Gemara goes on to explain. Hilkach, kol yuma mikros agever sagi. Generally speaking, morning is sufficient, meaning dawn. And then b'yom ha-kippurim, mishum choshu de kohen gadol mechatzos. Now on Yom Kippur, so we know the kohen gadol is going to have a really long and busy day. All the avoda on Yom Kippur is done by the kohen gadol. So therefore, we want to do it even earlier. Rashi writes over here Yom Kippur, shekol avoda mitalos al kohen gadol, v'kachosha v'tzarech lahakdim yoser. So basically, we want the Kohen Gadol to start as early as possible so that, I guess, he finishes as early as possible. The Kohen Gadol is going to be doing an all-nighter on Erev Yom Kippur, right? We discussed it at length back in Yuma. So therefore, we want to back it up. So on Erev Yom Kippur, Trumas Hadeshen will be done at midnight. Regalim, the Nefishi Karbanos. Now on Yontiv, so the first day of Yontiv, there are going to be, and I know you're thinking about Erev Pesach, which is Erev Yontiv, but in other words, on your standard Yontiv, so Bnei Yisrael are bringing their Olas Re'ia, Shalmei Chagiga. There's a lot of karbanos coming in. So Dekadmi Asa Yisrael, Me'ashmar Asa Rishona. So Trumas Hadeshen is going to be done in even pre-midnight, sometime in the late evening, but before midnight. So to basically allow for all Bnei Yisrael to be there. Kedektani Seifa Lo'aisa. On a Yontif, it was dawn, and there were throngs of Jewish people there in the Azara, or around the Azara, looking to bring their carbon. Right? Every Jew has an obligation on Yontif to bring a Chagiga, an Olas Re'ia, Shalmei Simcha as well. So, again, to facilitate that, so Trumas Hadeshen is backed up all the way into the end of the first Hashmaris, which is, you know, around 10, 11 o'clock at night to make room for all the people.